Hey everyone, welcome to the Are You the One Wrap Up podcast. My name is Allie Lasher, point blank period, and I am here back with my co-host, the lovely Adam Bongiovanni. How you doing, Adam?
Good. I'm really glad you referenced that early on because it was bothering me so much how many times she said it, but I guess we'll get into that.
Point blank period. That is my new thing, as though I needed a new thing.
And Davon Rogers said something similar in Big Brother, so like I wasn't sure if she was a really big Brother fan. Maybe she listens to Rob as a podcast, so like maybe we're lucky here and Tyranny's just a really big fan of the show.
Do you think this is like an Illuminati happening now between the shows?
Yes, 100%. I was actually going to mention the Illuminati, but I didn't want to get killed by the Illuminati, so I'm glad you said it.
I'm willing to risk it, point blank period. PBP.
Yes.
I have to say, before we catch up with all of the nonsense, shenanigans, tomfoolery, what have you, that's been going on in the past 100 episodes since we last have spoken, important update, I was at Party City the other day, as I do. Party City is like my mecca. And they have the Tyranny glasses there, the pink giant martini glasses in multiple colors, in multiple shapes. So if Rob Cesternino, if you're out there and you're actually looking for one of those glasses, I had it in my hand, but I was going on a train and I didn't feel comfortable carrying it on the train next time.
What is the over-under of episodes of Are You the One that Rob Cesternino has watched? I'm going to say half. What is the over-under? Like, do you think...
Well, no, just the one. I think he did watch the one that we talked about.
Yeah, that
was the one with the glass. So he's there.
Okay, so he wins.
I think the martini glass at Party City is more of like an online purchase. It's very strange to walk out of the store with it. But if anyone's looking for Are You the One props, there's no like Survivor auction or charity auction. You just go to Party City and pay $3 for it.
And you know that's where they got the glass from. 100%. They are not spending more than $3 on a glass for the Are You the One house.
As they shouldn't. And it was classy. It's a classy $3.
Yes. No, good spend.
Okay, so I have a number of things I want to jump into with you. First of all, though, how have you been? It's been a hot minute.
I've been in hibernation. I don't remember anything that's happened the past few weeks. So this is
perfect.
I've done one podcast, hibernate, and then came back for the next.
That is always a great way to get started here. Yeah. So while you like thaw out or whatever,
I'm thawing
back to
right
life.
Now.
All right, so I want to know really quick. I don't know if we knew. Did we know there was? Have we talked about the Are You the One spinoff show that's happening?
We might have mentioned it briefly, but I don't think we got into it because it wasn't officially announced on the aftermatch with our good friend Terrence J.
So, okay, great.
Yeah, so we have to cover that, I think.
Also, shout out to his girl Jasmine, who he gave a nice big shout out to in the aftermatch.
It's always fun with Terrence J and all those other random people from that other show.
All right, so let me get your thoughts really quick on the spinoff show that's happening with Are You the One.
This is a big day for Are You the One fans because I feel like it's going to be a lot more strategic based. I honestly have not done too much research, but I'm very excited to see some of our favorites back, like Asaf, and we'll get hopefully we get to his appearance on the after show or the aftermatch. I apologize. Last night, I'm excited for it, you know, especially if it gives me a reason to like more of a reason to podcast for it because then I have a reason to live, so I'm very excited for that. How about you?
I just don't know why. Somebody tweeted, like, Allie gets busy and MTV puts out, like, 5,000 more shows. And I'm just like, come on. Like, what are you doing? I really don't understand the scheduling of all of this because what Are You the One's wrapping up in what, like, a couple of weeks?
Oh, I would say 2 weeks, right? It's got to be 2 weeks for Are You the One.
And then the challenge will still be going on, just be heating up. And then they're going to introduce this other Are You the One show. So that's fine. I think it's interesting. My question is, in terms of the casting of this, is this a way to sort of pluck people from Are You the One, get the audience used to them to then like grease them for the challenge? Or is this like you're not cut out for the challenge, but in lieu of that, you're going to be on this other show?
Yeah, I don't know, because we've obviously have some people that have been on both, like Adam has been on both and also, Devin has been on both. I'm sure there's more. I just don't know the full cast. Like I don't know the full cast by heart is a better way to say it. But it seems like I'm not sure where they're going because for a while, and we talked about this, it seemed like Are You the One was kind of their number one. Like there was constant promotion for it. So I don't know if this is them saying, okay, like Are You the One can be even bigger, or they're saying, okay, let's get you guys ready so we could pair them up with Johnny Bananas and just create a whole new monster. I don't know.
It'll be interesting. I'm definitely going to watch, but that's about it.
Yeah. No, the preview was weird, though. Like, it seemed more like Amazing Racey based on the preview. And another thing I want to call out before we get into any spoilers, they showed the perfect match last night in the preview before they were revealed to be a perfect match on the actual show. Like, they spoiled it right away last night.
We got a tweet about that from Colleen Lando, which was, why is MTV taking its cue from The Bachelor and insisting on commercial spoilers? I was watching it on recording and did a little fast forward action, and I was pretty shocked to see them reveal the perfect match from that episode. But is it really surprising? I feel like a lot of the feedback we've gotten is just like, wow, typical MTV. Thanks, guys.
I feel like they have a lot of new shows coming out, though. Like, they're throwing a bunch of different random shows that are kind of like variations of other shows. So, I don't think there's any surprise here with MTV doing their, like, fourth spinoff. I feel like these are all spinoffs of, like, Real World, and, like, it's just all coming full circle.
Very true. One thing, another kind of, like, broader question to ask you that I was thinking about, because I was looking at Are You the One Math to sort of like refresh my memory from the last few episodes. And they mentioned something there that was interesting to me. It's been 5 seasons and there has not been one repeated challenge on Are You the One. Is that, do we like that? Do we like seeing some old favorites or no?
I think that, okay, it's impressive on their part, but at the same time, like, the challenges that they have for us aren't the most creative. I think, like, if you compare it to any of the other, like, big reality shows, like Survivor and Big Brother, they do repeat almost everything. And look at even Bachelor, like, they repeat the 2-on-1 date, which is always a fan favorite. So I think it's good to kind of get people in a routine and have, like, their special big challenges. So I give them props, but at the same time, I'm a little disappointed.
I think that's totally fair. One of the things that I always complain about, and we'll get into it this episode, so it's very fitting, unplanned, but fitting that this is the episode we're going to podcast about, is that every season I thirst for the exes to return, and they have never done it as well as they did the first season, where the exes are back and they came into the house. Bring the exes into the house. This was some bullshit with only 5 exes out of 22 coming back, but we'll... I digress. That's something, if it works like it worked in season one, let's bring it back.
No, it was amazing in season one. Like, that was because of course I went back before we did the podcast and rewatched it. And, like, they got all the exes, or at least I think it was like 9 out of 10. And they got most of the exes. And not only did they get them, but they got them to spend time with everyone in the house. Like, it was just a beautiful thing to watch unfold in front of you.
Yeah. Also, that's like the only reason anyone remembers Khaleesi and Dylan. Because his ex was still in love with him. Never
forget. Oh, my God. Rest in peace. I don't even know what a ship name for them would be, so I'm not even going to attempt it.
Killen.
Oh, there you go. Wow, that's pretty.
So, speaking of couples, I feel like we definitely don't need to come up with a relationship name for, because they're not lasting. We have to unpack the love triangle that was the love triangle formerly known as Cam, Eddie, and Alicia.
God, what a ride we were on for that. And I'm sad we haven't had the time to talk about it. But
The time is now.
So that episode, I think it was episode 5, when we watched it all unfold, it was revealed that Cam and Eddie were obviously a match. And then Alicia decides to just get involved and then lie about getting involved. And I don't know, I feel like this was the downfall of Alicia for anyone who enjoyed her previously.
Yeah, we have to really walk this back, because we were speculating the last time we spoke about whether or not Cam was going to have an explosion. Because I think we both praised Cam on her ability to sort of keep it measured between Alicia and herself over Eddie. 2 best friends, 1 guy. They're all sort of a trio of friendship. We see Alicia and Eddie having a good time together, but Cam's kind of keeping her cool. I know he's my match. And we both were basically speculating whether or not Cam was going to pop off. I don't think either of us thought that Eddie and Alicia would have sex after Cam and Eddie were confirmed match. That doesn't seem like friend. I mean, I'm no friend expert, but it doesn't seem like friendship to me.
No, and I think also we were so high on Eddie after he comforted Osvaldo in the boxing room. And we said, this is a stand-up guy. Like, this is an amazing moment. He would never screw any of them over. And he literally screwed Alicia. So, I don't know. I was very disappointed in her actions. I was disappointed in his actions. I think, like, a lot of people probably, like, online were probably bashing her. But he's just as much at fault here, because he's a perfect match with Cam. He admitted in the past, he's like, you know what, I haven't been loyal, like I've messed up, and he does it again. It's like, okay, dude, you know what, you're perfect for this show. Now we know why they casted you.
I mean, the reality is it didn't really seem like, and I don't know if this was just editing, but it never really seemed like Eddie reciprocated the more than friends feelings for Cam. Like when you see, or at least the shots we were shown with Cam and Alicia, he seems way more into her, I think, than he ever did with Cam. It definitely seemed like more on a friends level, but that doesn't make any of what happened okay. The least of which is like the fact that Cam is in the honeymoon suite with Eddie, jumping ahead, under the notion that they only kissed, and she's pissed about that.
Yep.
And that's not even the whole truth. And then I actually watched a YouTube video with Cam where she was like, I found out on television, like watching it on television. That's the first time she found out about that. And neither of them have apologized to her about it. That is just so scumbaggy to me. I can't even get over it.
And then in later episodes, Alicia, she was defending herself, like as other people were going at her for getting involved in their relationships, and I'm sure we'll get into that, and she kept saying, I only kissed two guys. And it's like, dude, you didn't only kiss like who knows how many guys she actually kissed. Like, we don't know, based on editing, we don't have that much time. Like, I'm sure they've all kissed in a bunch of different people, but she slept with a guy that was already a perfect match with someone else, not only just someone else though, her best friend. It was just a very sad situation. I really did feel bad for Cam, because, and she, I think she handled it really well. I feel like a lot of people would have went crazy and beat the crap out of the other person, so I do give Cam credit in this situation.
Well, it's just so crazy, because exactly what you're saying about them being friends, like I would even say Alicia even pursuing anything with Eddie, like they were Andre and Alicia, Eddie and Cam. Alicia and Andre are not a match, and now Alicia's all of a sudden into Eddie. Like, I understand this is a show, and I understand the relationships are always like fluid, but the fact that Cam even allowed her to sort of insert herself there as not a violation of girl code, but then to take it a step further, like I was already off on Alicia, just the fact that she was developing this relationship with him.
No, I agree. It's like there are a lot of other guys in the house, and at the same time, like we've seen the success of the relationships, like, and you are building a strong friendship. I don't think it was worth it for her to kind of interfere or insert herself, because when she inserted herself there, Eddie inserted himself in other places.
Oh, wow. With that.
I had to take it. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. moving swiftly on, though, to Tyler and Shan and the other, like, dear God couple in my mind.
Oh, my God. No, and also I appreciate your Swift reference. I know it had nothing to do with Brandon Swift from The Challenge, but when you say swiftly, I just have to give him a shout out.
Great. Always feel free to shout anyone out, especially like tangentially relevant players in The Challenge.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So the big beef here with Tyler, besides that he's just like a general D-bag, is that Tyler is overheard by Gianna saying, oh, I hope Shannon and I aren't a match so that I could bang everyone else in the house. Okay, Tyler, because everyone's into you.
You know, I'm not, I think honestly, like last year I wasn't a big fan of Steven. I think Tyler's really in the running for like worst person ever on Are You the One? And like, it is really unlike Gianna to get involved in drama. So I was really like, that was a big surprise at first to see Gianna like insert herself in like a really dramatic situation and like get involved. But you know what? Good for her for finally opening up and stepping up. I give her a lot of credit there. I'm sure that'll be the last we see of Gianna. But Tyler is just like, I don't know, I feel like there should always be one reserved spot on every season at the matchup ceremony to be like, okay, this person has no match because they're a terrible person. That would be Tyler.
Yeah, that's the great point about Tyler being the most like unlikable or worst person in Are You the One history, because he really has no redeeming qualities, even from a television standpoint. Like, he's boring.
Exactly.
So, like, Devin was a huge a-hole, but like, he was entertaining.
Yes.
Layton, horrible. Love to hate him though. You know, like all of the people, even Steven, like, created some television, something interesting.
Yep.
This guy is like paint drying on the wall, and then he still somehow thinks he has the authority to like treat all of these women like absolute garbage.
No, and like, of course, like, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt when watching these type of shows that are cut to an hour. No, like, you try to do that, but with Tyler, you just can't, because he's like point blank in the period, like, he's just terrible.
Yeah, similarly to Gianna, he pulls the like, oh, JK. And she's like, don't get anyone else. Just kidding.
I was joking. It's like, Tyler, dude. Like, no, but I understand what some of these, like you said, like some of these douchebags that they've cast, like, you know what? They're villains. They're entertaining. Like last season, we even saw Gio. Like, he was an amazing villain. You love to hate him. Tyler, you know, I don't love to hate him. I just hate him. And it's like sad hate. It's like, I feel bad that this guy is such a terrible person. We have to all watch it.
It's also, the thing is, was heartbreaking to me is like watching Shannon on this date with him where she's trying to like talk tough and be like, that wasn't okay. Tell me what happened. Like, whatever. Not into him anymore. I don't deserve that. And then he just says like three generic bro lines and she's right back in it. Like, what is he says something like, you're the only girl I'd want to be on a date with. Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Sure. Yeah, great.
Like,
great work.
I care about you. And, you know, comes into my lap.
And like, and I just can't believe, like, first of all, like, what person would want to sleep with everyone in that house? You were bound to leave with something. And like, I just like, especially someone that like, we haven't seen Mike in a while, but you know, he's carrying a few little buddies in his back pocket. So like, you don't want to, I don't understand why he'd want to get involved with every person. I feel like it's just a sick addiction at that point. We need to get help for Tyler. But, you know, I hope he finds it. I said it's a sick addiction for Tyler. And we need to get him, some help or a punching bag. I'm sure Osvaldo could help there.
Yeah. Speaking of, getting with everyone in the house and carrying some little buddies, we got to move on to Hannah, Ozzy, and Alicia. Alicia again, second time around here.
She's not stopping. I think we're going to see her interfere with at least two more couples before the season's over.
What is she doing there? Oh, like, could you understand what her, like, why, when, who, where, what?
Yeah, no. Okay, so we're going to backtrack a little. This is episode 6 now. Ozzy and Hannah, like, it's very centric around them. They both, like, they pretty much saying they loved each other at this point. I remember them being in the water, and she was like, I can't wait to, like, bring him home, and, like, he's going to fit perfectly into my life. And Ozzy's like, I finally found the girl that I'm not going to, like, mess around on, and I'm gonna be loyal and awesome to her. And then they're not a perfect match, right? They go into the truth booth and they're not a perfect match. So of course this releases Ozzy back into the wilds, and then Alicia decides to get involved. And you could refresh my memory. Does she get involved before this episode, like a lot, or is it just a little before this episode?
Well, I think their beef comes from Hannah moving in on Andre. Alicia first was a no match. So in a way, I feel like this Ozzy thing has to be, if not 100%, at least like 85% fueled by revenge, which I can get down with. Good. Hannah deserves it. You're only doing the same thing. But like, when you have to just like slither in between the guy and the other girl and just put your mouth on him in order to get some attention, like maybe he's not that into you.
Yeah, but the weirdest thing is like, I feel like Hannah, first of all, her last name is Fugazi or Fugazi, which like, I don't know. I appreciate the last name, but could I start covering what happened last night, or am I too premature for that?
There are no rules.
Oh, great. Okay. Just making sure. I don't want to like step on any, what's that? Well, you're the only toes I could step on, and since you're cool with it, I guess we're good. But, so obviously last night, like they're one of the non-matches that are staying together as a couple. And Ozzy, of course, Ozzy is no loyal to anyone. Ozzy is doing Ozzy. So he tells Hannah he loves her. They both say, I love you at this rager party, which I'm sure we'll get into. And then Alicia's like, I don't know, maybe if we can't connect emotionally, I'm just going to hop on and see what I can do. And she literally, Hannah walks away for, I would say, like two and a half, maybe 3 minutes. And she's riding him, and he's not stopping. And they're just hooking up, and it's just very uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is later what I think pisses Hannah off the most is that Ozzy defends Alicia when, like, Hannah's coming for her. Like, at the matchup ceremony, in the moment. But again, it's just like, he gets away with it. He smooth talks his way out. I do believe that Hannah and Ozzy have some sort of real connection. Yeah. Hannah definitely seems like she has feelings for him. But, like, God, he's just playing her out so hard. Like, all the women this season, I'm waiting for the woman who, like, Cam is really the only woman who's like not about to get played, except for the fact that she doesn't know the information.
I know, that's another thing. Like, it is sad to see Cam, who like doesn't know what happened, like talk about her and Eddie and how they're starting their friendship. It's sad, but beyond that, like, I feel like Hannah is just, I feel bad for her in a sense. Like, I know I shouldn't feel bad for anyone on these shows because the reason they're probably cast is because they're a terrible person in the core of their heart.
Oh, but your feelings are valid. Feel bad for these people. They're human.
I do feel bad for Hannah because it feels like she's just kind of like willing to take Ozzy back because she's like, okay, well, we did have a connection. But I think, or at least I hope, last night when Ozzy, like, I don't know if you consider it cheating because, like, who knows who's with who at this point. But he does definitely screw her over and messes around literally in front of her after he told her he loved her. And she kind of said,
last night's episode, I'm all jumbled together now.
I think, yes, it was. No, you're right. It was a week before. So that's good. So I'm technically we're on pace here. Okay. So it was last week's episode. And she kind of said, you know, I deserve better than this, which I hope she stands by because I don't think that anyone deserves to be kissed. Well, now I don't even know how to word this because it's so messed up. I don't think anyone deserves to watch the person that told you that they loved you 5 minutes prior make out with someone new on a beach in their underwear.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like we already know she's taken him back, which is a bummer.
I know.
But... yeah, just not a great look here for Hannah or Ozzy. Certainly not a great look for Leisha. As you said before, if you know if she wasn't already off your list, she probably certainly is now.
Oh, yeah.
The last thing I just want to cover from the last few episodes before we dive into this one, unless you have anything else, is the Carrie strategy, the Carrie method, if you will, of trying to basically get one truth booth of a couple that barely considers themselves a possibility of being a match. Lynn, using your whole matchup ceremony to do that.
Oh, yeah. No, that was interesting.
So basically, they have, they pair together Hannah and Jalen and Cass and Ozzy to see if Cass and Jalen are a perfect match. I couldn't understand for the life of me why they were trying to confirm these two. Shock of the century, they were not a match. It becomes sort of a waste. I mean, I guess it's a waste of a matchup ceremony unless you consider that important information to figure out. What did you think of the Carrie method?
Okay, I give her credit for trying. Like, I feel like some people, like, just go in blind and they go completely against the strategy. And like, I'm going to pick this person because we never talked before. And like, I give her credit. She's at least trying to play this game strategical. She's going at it with a different mindset. But at the end of the day, I feel like the results weren't there and it didn't really give them as much information as they'd hoped. So, yeah, I'm a fan, but I'm also kind of like, it didn't really do much.
I feel like it's got to be something you do like earlier on.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, like it just maybe with a couple that to me made more sense, but it did kind of seem like a complete waste. I don't know. I thought it was strange, but maybe it's just because we didn't see. Maybe there was more to Jalen and Cass that we didn't see. They had a couple of times where they were offered truth booth switches or whatever it is. Are you surprised they haven't taken any money yet in place of any of these truth booths?
Yeah, I think that, like, especially with we can go Andre and Taylor was that was last. Now I want to make sure that was last week, so I don't like mess this up again. That was the not this past last night's episode, but the week before.
Definitely not this last.
Okay, cool. So that's fine. All right. So they had the opportunity again to take that the $250,000 or is it $250 or $150?
You know what? I don't remember.
Okay, one of those things. It's more money.
It's $125.
Oh wow, maybe I don't know, but it's more money. They could be added to their pot, and once again they decline it. Is this is probably like the third time they've done that? In my opinion, the Andre Taylor, the matchup would have been perfect, or the truth would have been absolutely perfect to take it, because in at least from their point of view, they probably thought they were definitely a match. Everyone knew, even if they weren't a match, they're gonna stick together and be buddy buddy, and they declined it again. And they don't. And right now, like we've talked about this in the past, they're not getting crazy amount of money with $500,000, even if they win. And at this point, it's not looking too great for them anyway.
Wait, now I think it might be $250 because I think in my head it was like they got back half of what they lost. But anyway, that doesn't matter. Sorry, okay. Everyone. I totally agree with you in the sense that if you're putting in a couple that is not going to break up, that's the time to use it because it's not going to matter whether like I just and we're going to talk about it more later in this episode because the non-match couples are like beating a dead horse at this point. Every episode they're talking about it like. I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Like the only benefit to breaking up, to knowing that Taylor and Andre are not a perfect match, is that they don't keep sitting together.
Exactly. Right?
But like, if you're willing to play with that a little bit, I don't know. I feel like you should. They should have taken the money the first time that was offered to them. And I think now the later they get, the harder it's going to be to take the money, because the less truth boost you have and the more information you need. So I think they kind of screwed themselves. I don't think we're going to see them take it this whole season.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of disappointing me, because like, I feel like from a strategic standpoint, like at some point they should have got together as a house and say, okay, well this week, if we do, like if this couple goes in, let's take it. And of course I'm sure they're doing that, but at the same time, we don't really know if they're even discussing taking it, because every time they've declined it. And I think that, like, I forgot who it was the first episode that was really for taking. I think it was, maybe Derek, it was Derek. Yeah. Okay. It was Derek. Yeah. And he was so for taking. And I feel like now they're all just kind of like, oh, well, they're a perfect match. So let's screw this. We're not going to go. Do you think that there's any chance that Ryan increases the offer just to kind of like maybe to get them going, or get them maybe biting at it the next like two weeks?
That would be interesting. Depends how badly MTV wants them to take it, or them to win or not. Like, I feel like it's added potentially enough intrigue to be worth its value already. The tough thing, or to just be value, like to be, make it have been worth offering the twist. The one thing that I worry about is the unpredictability of the, it's necessary that the offer be unpredictable, because otherwise they're going to vote in a couple they don't think is a match, a totally random couple, and then take the trade. So that it defeats the purpose of the consequence of not being able to put them back in the booth. Mm. And I feel like the unreliability of when it's going to be offered makes it really difficult to do that, as you're saying, like accounting for it and talking to each other. Okay, if it's offered today and we send these people in, then we'll take it. And it just becomes, you know, a mad dash at the end, and people freak out and say, no, no, let's not take it.
No, I agree. And like, I just wish that, because especially now there's two truth boots left. So they're probably going to use both of them, or they're at least going to want to use both of them, since there's not a lot of time. And we know they don't have the most crazy amount of matches here. And I think it was also really like a really funny moment for me was after episode 7, where they had, this was last week's episode where they still had 4 matches, and Eddie goes, what do y'all do all day? And it was just the funniest thing, because it's like, what do they do all day? That they're, this is probably statistically like the worst any house has done in the past 5 seasons. I'm pretty positive it is. So I'm very curious what they do all day.
That's pretty funny. I do love when, and Brian and I have discussed in the past, like, what would happen if Brian's a big proponent of the people who are in the honeymoon suite actually not get, like, the perfect match is not getting banished and staying in the house. But that would cut the, like, hilarity that is Cam and Eddie's reactions to when, we're jumping ahead to this episode, Hayden goes join his match. Like, Hayden, he's like, what do you do now? You know, like, just, I love those reactions we're getting from them.
I feel like they're perfect for it too, because they're both very animated people. And Cam was, I feel like, but also if she was in the house right now, she would be kind of, it seems like it would be leading the charge to kind of help everyone figure things out. So maybe after she left, it did hurt the house from a strategic standpoint.
Just to verify what you're saying, your speculation about whether or not this is the worst people have ever done. So right around going into episode 8, let me see, this is kind of confusing how it's done. So in episode 7, they were doing better than a couple of seasons, and then by episode 7, they were doing the worst that any season has done in history of episode 7. But by episode 8, they are doing better than season 3, which was the 11th girl, and they are doing right on pace with season 2. Both of whom finished. They're doing markedly worse than seasons 1 and season 4, which both found all the perfect matches at week 7.
Wow, that's insane. Like, so they're even, though this house seems very dumb as a whole, I guess we have to maybe give them the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, there's 2 weeks, and we know already the 1 weeks are shortened weeks. So we'll see what happens. Do you, I know we'll get into this episode a little bit more, but do you have any predictions? Do you think they're going to win the money? I think it'd be entertaining to see them not win.
I go back and forth every year. I feel like I'd want to know. It's almost like with Survivor, if there was like a tie in the final tribal counts. Like, you want to know what happens, but I don't know if it would be that satisfying. So I'd love to see what happens in a failed season of Are You the One? But no matter how much I hate the season or the people or love the season or love the people, when they win the money, I'm excited for them at the end. So I don't know if I'd be let down, but I am curious to know how MTV would handle it.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to watch, but you also throw as there was a tie at Final Tribal Council. He was just a person and he had a chicken. So I just want to just point that out. I heard you say that. I'm like, I have to say it. Like, please don't. Like,
how long have you been working on that one?
About honestly, when the first time we did the podcast, I was waiting for you to use that reference. It's been in the back of my head since last Survivor season. So, but no, I guess the evil part of me, like the Tyler part of me, like the Tyler's on one shoulder and then Cam's on the other. And Tyler's like, I don't care. I just want to hook up with everyone. And Cam's like, no, win the money. So like, I kind of want them to lose for the people like Tyler that are just like terrible human beings. But then I want them to win because, like, there's certain people that definitely need that money and they're in this house for the money. So I think I'd feel bad if they didn't. And Osvaldo, like, after getting really no airtime the whole season minus that one episode, like, I think, you know, he deserves the money.
Well, it really kind of seems like you're in a little bit of a feeling circle here. So let's transition right into this past the pillow house meeting, like, share circle. Did you think this was a good idea or... I mean, I can't say a waste of time because they don't really have anything else to do in the house.
Eddie's right. What do they do all day? No, I think, I don't know. I think, like, the more meetings they have, the better. I think because that at least shows they're trying. Because, like, I keep saying this, but we don't know what they do. So, I don't know. I'm a proponent for when they actually try to figure things out and talk and pass the pillow.
It was good, I think, for the guys like Michael and the guys like Jalen, who always sort of lead with humor. To sort of show a different side that clearly attracted Catherine, at least, for better or for worse. And the only thing that really pissed me off here is, like, I want to know what you think of Taylor and Andre's attitude. I totally understand the, like, we're not splitting up. I even understand that we'll just do what you want. Tell us, you know, we'll be chess pieces, sort of. Tell us where to go. Fine. But you can't stand up and open up a little bit in this freaking circle so that people who don't know you that well can see maybe you're their match. Like, you can't even be bothered to do that. You have to stand up and say, I love him. He loves me. That's it. I don't care about you, assholes. Like, really? That's necessary?
No, and like, I get, like, of course, I'm not one person to say, well, you're not in love. You're not this. But in reality, they've probably known each other for 3 weeks to probably around 3 weeks at this point. So I think it might be a little too early to say they're in love with someone. And like I said, I can't judge. You know, they've lived together. They're going through it, not me. But I think you should at least be open to exploring other friendships with people. Like, I think that's the saddest thing, that they're so attached. And I feel like the harder the climb and how great they've been together this whole time, the fall is going to be that worse because they're so attached and it's kind of like they're very dependent on each other. But like, look at Osvaldo. Like, he was saying he had one conversation with Taylor. Like, the poor guy, like, she won't even give him more than one conversation. They could talk about dogs. It doesn't have to be romantic at all. I think that they, like, it is very tough. And this is, like, I was watching with my parents last night. My mom said, you know, I do kind of feel bad because they're attached to someone. They don't want to lose them. But at the same time, they are playing a game. They're here to for Are You the One. And they keep saying it's so much bigger than the game. Like, what does that even mean?
Hold on. Does your mom watch Are You the One every week?
Yes.
I need more mom takes.
Oh, she's okay. Now let me see what she likes so far. I know she wasn't a big fan of Catherine. She thought she was annoying. I can give you that take. And we haven't seen much of her in the past. She did like Joey. She was like, he seems like a nice guy. So, and I'm pretty sure, I think she also did like Cam. But like, for the most part, she's quiet. And yesterday she did speak up about the whole, should the no matches stay together or should they part the Red Sea and move on.
That is incredible. More mom takes in the future, please.
For sure.
Okay, I'm totally distracted what we're talking about. Oh, yes. So to continue on in this. Oh, no, that's the one thing I want to say. It is interesting. Like, you bring up them saying, I love you. I feel like this has to be the season with the most I love yous exchange in the season. It is kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, it is a lot. And like, I think how old is Andre? Probably like 21, 22, or I think he's 22. I'm actually on the Wikipedia. He's 22 and Taylor is 22 as well. And she's mentioned that she's had a bad past with boyfriends. So I feel like maybe they're both kind of jumping at, they're like, oh wow, this is real. And I don't know, like, I haven't looked at any spoilers. I don't know if they're still together or not, but I just feel like they're getting way too committed, especially when there's money on the line.
And it is crazy to me that they're 22. Oh, wow. Sorry.
Is that Andre or Taylor calling to, like, or maybe it's Tyler calling and saying, like, how much we're not, or he's not a terrible person.
This is terrible that I'm getting a phone call. Give me 1 second. Keep talking.
Okay. There was something I just want to talk about. Now I completely. Oh, so obviously everyone is saying I love you this season, but something that we haven't seen.
It was Adele.
Oh, okay, good.
I took care of it.
Yeah, I'm glad. But something we haven't seen this season is anyone bring up a wedding ring, which can only be done by the great Gio from last season, and then completely going back on everything he said weeks later. So there's no talk of engagements, which is kind of sad.
Not yet. There's still 2 episodes.
Yeah, Ozzy will probably propose to someone.
That would be incredible. I feel like Ozzy's the least likely yes, he to mean is. I yes. love you when he says it.
He's like, I mean, I love you like a friend. It's like, okay, Ozzy, keep doing you.
All right, so anything else that jumped out at you about this house meeting? I mean, it was just like, you know, an after-school special about people's feelings and insecurities.
Yeah, no, we just kind of learned that Taylor and Andre are in love, and they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
Perfect. I thought this – we also see, like, sort of a new budding romance. Last we saw of Joey, he was with Catherine, and then we see no real explanation for why him and Catherine have started to move on. Okay. But he has this kind of gross – I'm going to say gross interaction with Cass, because Cass is like, good puppy, good puppy. I'm like, this is a human man.
It's so weird. I feel like a lot of these people have these like weird tendencies that are just like not normal, and they think it's really normal.
The more I see of Cass, the less I wish we saw of Cass.
I honestly, like, I have trouble. Like, every time you say like Cass, I keep forgetting who she is. Then I remember.
Well, I usually picture Shannon, and then it brings me to Cass because they are like absolute twins.
Yeah, I think the only reason that I know the difference is because of the date last night, or Joey's date that That was Cass,
Poopy.
Right? Okay, good. Just making sure, because I there was a little part of me that was still doubting that. But that it was so weird. And then, like, he brings her on this, like, really, like, he tries to make it seem like it's really extravagant. It's pretty basic. Like, he had, like, wine or whatever, and, like, had Fruit Loops because she's short and sweet, which was terrible. Like, oh,
and
that's
a ham sandwich.
Oh, there was.
They
oh, there
both
was.
Like ham sandwich.
Oh, wow, so cute.
Ham sandwiches.
And like, he won her over with that really poor excuse for a date. And, like, I don't know. And it is true, though. We don't see the reason that him and Catherine – were they like – was it one of those truth boot ceremonies or the ceremonies that they knew that they weren't a match? Like, was there any real indication of that? Or did they
as
just
As far
kind
as
of,
I know, there's still a potential match.
Oh, God.
And they just kind of drifted, I guess.
Yeah, well, Joey's – like, I feel like Joey's had his fair share of, like, relationships in the house this far. But I don't know. Maybe that's kind of, like, the MTV editors saying, okay, like, this is potentially going to be a match. Like, let's move on. Or we're going to see an epic downfall. So stay tuned for more, kids.
Which I loved that, like, we couldn't even get, like, what's her name? Oh, my God. The Hayden's match.
Oh my God. I'm,
Carolina.
Carolina, yeah, there you
we
go.
We couldn't even get Carolina, like, look in Joey's direction positively on the first episode. Look how far he's come.
Yeah, I know. And he's wearing different sunglasses. Then that we commented on them the first episode.
Thank
and we kind of critiqued them.
I have
them.
Not noticed that. I want to make sure to notice that.
They look very like – they look like – okay, from a far, like far away, they look decent. But then as you get closer, I don't know if they're like a real brand or maybe like the kind of dollar store, $3 ones. He's like, these are nice. And he has not changed that black like a guinea tea since like they've gotten the Dominican Republic. So you know what? Good for Joey.
Only you can refer to the tank top like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I will. That's. I honestly was gonna say tank top, and I'm like, and I was like, I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna say it. But no.
No one write me with your complaints. Adam said that.
It's my fault, and I feel like I'm allowed to like look at my full name. But good for Joey for putting on this little date, and also you know what? Good puppy.
I do like when people on these dating shows like make their own date with like a blanket and whatever. Like, I do think it's cute. I just don't like Joey and Cassandra together, or really, I just don't like that Cassandra's in permanent baby talk mode.
Oh God. I don't know how people can talk like a baby to their significant other. It's just so cringy.
But it's like, she's talking to everyone like that. She talks to the camera like that. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what society did to you, but I want to help undo it.
No, yeah, I
agree.
Away
from that.
Yeah, she's – well, they've all probably had crappy relationships, so I feel like talking like a baby, your significant other, something had to go wrong in the past.
What do you think of Mike, our nice Jewish boy? I love that little quote at the end of this episode. nice Jewish boy Michael and bad girl Catherine.
Well, like, I really don't know what to think of Catherine right now because we haven't seen much of her since the whole, it was the Joey situation was the last we really saw of her. And Michael kind of like flew under the radar for a little bit and now he's back in Loud. And he had a little thing with Gianna and now he has a little thing with Catherine. I don't know. Michael, I feel like, wants to appear more badass than he actually is. I think he's a nice guy. And after he did come to, the rescue of Hannah last night with when she was watching Ozzy and Alicia make out, he pulled Alicia off Ozzy and said, "This guy's a scumbag. Like, what are you doing?" He'll say whatever, and he made fun of Ozzy's accent, which was fun to watch. So Michael's growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I mean, I don't love how he says like that Catherine carries herself like a woman. Like, what does that mean? But other than that, I thought he's been pretty great. What I loved, we didn't cover this, this wasn't last night's episode, but it happened in the past, where basically everyone's speculating that Gianna only likes Hayden because of the attention and that if one guy would give her attention, then she'd move on from Hayden. And Mike kind of like does it and proves Carolina exactly right. Yep. And I love how he kind of like went in there, flirted with her enough to get her interested, kissed her, and then was like, yep, she's fake.
Yeah, and Gianna, like, I'm sure she truly does have feelings for Hayden. But, like, in the beginning, she was so unsure of him. She was like, like, I don't know about this guy. And then now that he's kind of moved on fully, she's really upset about it. But then, once again, boom, Mike comes in. Who's Hayden? So, like, you don't really know what's going on in Gianna's head. I feel like sometimes she's genuine, sometimes she's just like, oh, I want attention.
Yeah, I think she nailed herself right on the head. She hit the nail right on the head when she said, like, she's insecure and she looks for security in guys. Like, I really just think she likes the attention of Hayden. And as she said herself, she probably doesn't deserve him. I agree with that. No, I just don't think she likes him enough.
No, I agree. And I really, like, want to comment on, I know there was, like, I don't know if it was, like, a commercial scene where they showed that Hayden was doing all these weird things and, like, Mike was, like, really cringed out by it. I think Hayden, like, was one, minus the tweet that we saw the other day, and we'll hopefully get into that a little bit. But I think he's a really nice guy, and I think he means well, and he seems very genuine. He did tweet that he's the same person with all the cameras and all the people following him, and he's the fame has not changed him, which I'm so glad to hear. But I do think he's genuinely a nice guy, and I'm happy things are hopefully working out for him.
Yeah. I want to just talk now about the exes because I'm like still reeling from how frustrated I am that this is what their poor, sad excuse for the exes challenge. They can't even give it a decent name. I knew you were going to try and ruin this by bringing my ex-boyfriend to the island. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Great job, Ryan.
I mean, like, he jokes that he like likes the fucked up names, but this was just like no effort. Like, this is if we just got up and read, like, on the podcast and read, like, a full transcript of the episode and then left.
No, it wasn't their best work. And the thing is, though, the exes that were, like, fake were the ones that you could, like, they looked like they were actors. Like, and for those of you who haven't watched the episode yet, the challenge was that there was five real exes and five fake exes. And then they had to answer, they all had to answer questions based on their ex. And then the ones who were fake left. So there was this one dude that looked like Johnny Bravo, and everyone, like, they kept making fun of it, but he was so clearly an actor. And it was just like, you couldn't have gotten people that at least look like normal people. Like, they don't look like these weird fabricated versions of the castmates we already have.
I love that. That's when, like, Michael was like, basically anyone good looking was an actor, and all the, like, trolls were the real boyfriends. Fake exes, like, you just don't want to fly out, like, the real exes, you can't get them, like, then don't do it. Like, just, you know, don't, like, half-ass it like that. That was, yeah, exactly. Like, what was even the challenge? And it wasn't even, like, they each had to describe a girl, and it was like, okay, who really dated that specific girl? Like, it was like, all right, both of you describe dating Catherine and then decide. Like, it was insane to me that it was just like, oh, tell me about the girl you dated. And one guy was like, oh, yeah, like, she really let herself go. Like, I didn't like that. Okay, how are you supposed to determine that that's fake? That's just like a random girl.
A random fact that could happen literally to anyone. Like, there's – and then, like, I don't know. I'm just very disappointed with the whole challenge as a whole. And the girls were all like watching, like, yeah, like I hit him with my car for this reason. It's like, what? And like, I don't know. It just, there was no real reason for this challenge. I feel like they could have picked names out of a hat and gotten the same results.
Yeah, why wasn't this one, at least, if you have to do the fakes, like a buzz in kind of thing? And like identify the real ex or identify who's like to just have 10 slots on a board and not even their each like their own slots that say fake. Like they just leave it blank. It was just so stupid.
They really didn't plan it out well.
I was really let down. But as you mentioned, Hannah hit her ex-boyfriend with a car. Ashley Bedazzle had said, do we have any background to Hannah hitting her ex-boyfriend with her car?
He's still alive. That's the background I think we could really take from it.
That's like the aftermath.
Yeah, good for him for surviving.
Let's get a Kickstarter going. Fund Hannah's ex-boyfriend's recovery.
Or we could say, let's see if Ozzy survives the car hit, because it looks like we're going in that direction.
I mean, look, I wouldn't blame her at this point.
No, and I don't think I honestly wouldn't be too affected by Ozzy. No, that's really messed up. I don't even want to finish that sentence. I stopped myself, for the record.
Restraint is a beautiful thing. Mike Bloom wants to know, who do you think the show would cast as your fake ex, and what would he or she look like?
Oh, my God. I feel like they would get someone, like, really, like, because I'm 5'8", so I'm not the tallest. I feel like they would just get someone small and, like, from New Jersey and, like, really energetic and, like, talking fast. Like, they would just get someone like me and everyone would be like, okay, like, that's real. And they'd probably believe it's real. So, like, I don't have anyone in mind. Maybe, like, Snooki from the Jersey Shore, but, like, a way, like, crazier, like, not as tan version.
Wow. Crazier than Snooki? So, Dina.
Oh, God. That was a really bad reaction to Dina. I feel bad now. Like she seems like a really nice girl, like from the show. So we'll podcast.
Dina is not listening to this. You're good.
Yeah, you don't know that. We don't know what Dina's doing since Jersey Shore ended. So like, I wouldn't put it past her. But we could do a podcast in the Jersey Shore reboot, which will definitely be happening within the next 5 years. So who would
will commit to that in advance.
Yes, good. So who would your next or your next? Who would your fake ex be?
Probably like a guy like dressed as like a ghost or something, like with holes cut out, eye holes in a sheet. Like, they just wouldn't even try. Just, like, here's just, like, a cameraman. Still holding the camera, so, like, you could see the camera under the sheet.
They wouldn't even have to pay him, though. They wouldn't have to pay him overtime, at least, which is a positive. Because I'm sure those actors, those stellar actors last night were definitely asking for a lot of money. So, you know what? At least with your fake ex, like, it's we don't have to pay him overtime.
Yeah, that's I'm all about being economically efficient.
Well, fantastic.
So, somehow, the arbitrary winners of this are Hayden, who picks Carolina, and Mike, who picks Catherine. No real shock there. Very excited to see a good Juicy Truth Booth play out in Hayden and Carolina. But first, we get that date. And just we covered the cast Joey date. But I will also add, because I forgot, I blocked this out, but it is in my notes to just be nails on the chalkboard for me. Cass sounds like Janice from Friends.
Oh my God! I didn't put it together to this point, but now like yes, I see it completely.
It's horrific.
That's
She's
terrible.
Gotta go. Don't give her any more airtime, please.
Vote her off the aisle.
And I also love Joey saying that Cass has like made him feel a way that he's never felt in 5 years. Like how quickly we forget how he felt about Carolina, or at least said to.
And he was also 18 5 years ago. So what kind of feelings did he have as an 18-year-old? Like. Credit for maturing quickly. Also, when you might give the Friends reference, Joey from this season, he kind of reminds me of Joey from Friends.
I think that's a fair comparison. I also, the age thing is tripping me out because the fact that, yeah, like Taylor said, she hadn't said I love you in 4 years. And that was when she was like 19.
She's 22. So she hasn't said I love you since she was in high school, which is, you know what, good for her.
Yeah, just like really, people are really maturing in front of our eyes here. And Are You the One? It's like should just be called Are You the Adult?
Yeah, and instead of college, they're on this TV show, so good for them.
And I love how Hayden and Carolina are on their date, and Carolina explains that like she thinks they're a match because she wants a simple guy.
what credit given to Hayden there? Like, you know what? I don't want someone who's complex or even intelligent for that matter. I want a Hayden.
Hayden also, like, this is not that simple, bringing up that he, like, still, this is what he says, please decipher this for me. I still have feelings for Gianna, just want to be honest with you, but, she's just my friend, or I'm sorry, I'm still attracted to Gianna, but I'm 100% here, she's just my friend, the feelings for her are gone. Why do you have to say you're attracted to her then? You don't need to be that honest, Hayden.
No, he definitely is over Jenna. No, he's 100%, like, I feel like in this moment, like, Hayden is a very simple guy. So he's like, yeah, I still like her, but I'm on this date with Carolina, so I should like her more. So I'm going to go with that. I feel like Hayden doesn't put that much thought into everything. He's just kind of like, you know what? Me and John aren't a perfect match. Carolina's pretty. I'm going to give it a chance. Like, I don't see that Hayden's doing it in a malicious way. He's just being, like you said, way too honest.
And Hayden is won over by Carolina's persistence. All of this is weird. And Carolina, I'm sure, like, the four most beautiful words in the English language, you wore me down. Like, I don't understand how this worked for any of them, how this will continue to work for them. Do we think they're going to be still together after the show?
I'm going to go with a hard no. But, like, of course, Hayden has not changed with all of the fame. So maybe he's still the same guy that he was in the house and is going to stick with Carolina. We'll know soon enough.
Cannot wait to see the after show covering that.
The after match, exactly. And then, so it's pretty confirmed. Like, I thought I saw the list of people on the new All-Star show, but if they were on the preview, and I'm sure I don't know if you know this better than me, but are they pretty confirmed for the All-Star show?
So I know is that there were two, I think there were only two matches from this season who were on the show, and you can find out who those people are. I didn't look because I knew I was doing this podcast, but like that's available to the general public online. And yeah, I think they're definitely going to be on the show given that they were in the preview.
Yeah, well, I would assume that, but at the same time, like, MTV's so weird. I feel like they would put random clips from the actual show or from Are You the One into this show just to get people like people's minds messed up. And we've seen how weird their advertising is by putting them on as a perfect match before they were a perfect match. So you never really know what's going on in the mind of the people who create commercials for MTV.
Anything really to come out of Catherine and Michael's date besides calling him a nice Jewish boy?
No. I got nothing from it. I just like, wow, he's really tall and she's really not. That's like the most I took from that whole date.
Yeah, I thought that was like I still think that's like a weird match. That shouldn't be a match.
Maybe like I have to assume at this point they're setting things up because we're nearing the end. So I'm like, okay, maybe they're like setting up that they're a perfect match and this is the last we're going to see of both of them. But I guess only time will tell.
I'm not shipping them.
Yeah, we on the smash or pass, they're a hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass.
Okay.
Not even a soft smash.
Mike and Catherine, maybe we'll see. What about other Mike? Like, have we seen anything about him recently?
No, and I don't care to. Like, yeah. There's very few people. There are some people I really like on the season, but not a ton.
No, it is a very, and I'm sure they're all listening. It is not a very likable cast. And we haven't seen much of Derek. Like, we haven't seen, there's a little more of Jalen, but we haven't seen much of Derek. Obviously, Mike's not in it too much. Osvaldo had one episode. I for some reason, I'm going through the list right now. Like, we've seen more of Tyler than anyone can really want. I think especially with 22 people, it is very tough to give each of them stories or make each of them likable for that reason.
I like the Jalen freaking out over the chicken wing thing. Chicken wing thing is like totally confirmed the fact that he was like my top pick going into the season. I just wish we saw more of him.
Yeah, we didn't see enough of him or Derek. I feel like they're both very funny based on like what we've seen thus far, but like, we haven't seen enough. Instead, we'll get 4.5 episodes of Tyler confessional saying he doesn't know what's going on around him.
Well, that we did get that sort of on the aftermatch. Apparently, Carolina was hooking up with Jalen while she was pursuing Hayden. And even she was like, great, like, finally they showed that. Like, she wanted them, like, look, Jalen got attention.
That's funny. Yeah, it's. I do feel bad because they do. I'm sure these guys or anyone who's on a show like this probably goes into it and says, I can't wait for that to show this part, or I can't wait to watch myself do this on TV. And with Are You the One, I feel like we probably see such a little amount of everyone since there are 47 people that are on the show.
Right, exactly. So we get to the truth booth, their confirmed match. Gianna sulking on the couch by herself while everyone celebrates. Do you think this is a product of editing, speaking of the things we don't see, or just who they are? We don't see Hayden approach Gianna at all to talk to her about this. Not before he goes to the boom boom room with Carolina. Not before he leaves for the honeymoon suite. Like, not even a word or a hug seems to be exchanged.
I think it's got to be a product of editing. I find it hard to believe when everyone's saying, you know what, or at least a few people have said Hayden seems like a really nice guy. I don't think he would just flat out ignore her and say, haha, I'm done. Like, I'm moving on. Especially when on the date the day before or hours before, for that matter, he did say he still had feelings for and cared about her. So I think there had to be some sort of exchange and he had to kind of clear things up with her. At least I hope so. But you never know. You never know.
Yeah, it was pretty outrageous. I mean, the editing was hilarious. The fact that, like, if it was, let's just read it the way it is on the show. We have Gianna saying to confessional, like, we're going to date after the show. And then Hayden, like, having sex with Carolina. Although, I doubt that they had sex. Because I think when Hayden says, you know, I'm not going to do that with anyone, he means it. And they didn't show anything besides, like, them fully clothed, like, kissing. So, I feel like MTV was just trying to pull a little sneakeroo.
Yeah, they probably did. And MTV's always, they're known for their sneakeroos, so I don't think we should be surprised here.
All right, so now I'm just thinking, there was more non-match drama. I feel like that's getting really old. I'm sick of the complaints about it. What are your feelings?
Oh, yeah, it's like, and there was not only non-match drama, like, of course, everyone has an issue with Hannah and Ozzy and Taylor and Andre, but then Ryan gets involved, and at the matchup ceremony he's like, stop doing that, and then he curses them off, which is, well, not them specifically, but the whole cast, which I thought was like, you know what, good for you, Ryan Probst, getting involved in the game even more than he already has been.
We have a ton of questions about Ryan, and by ton I mean two, but
wow, nice.
I will say really quick complaint about the non-match couples. My only complaint about them is that MTV is trying to make Tay-Dre happen when their relationship name is clearly Tandre. Okay.
Tandre flows a lot more nicely, and it sounds like Tandre wouldn't be a terrible name. Tay-Dre would.
Fair. That's actually a good measure for that.
Mm-hmm. Would you
Which
name your
name
kid?
Would you rather
yes.
have?
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect.
All right. So speaking of that, Stephen Lean has two questions about Ryan. The first is STFU Ryan the best Ryan we've seen?
Yes, there's not even a question of doubt in my mind that that is the best Ryan we've seen. I like when hosts, like, from a Julie Chen to Jeff Probst scale, I like when hosts get involved, and especially on a show like Are You the One, where they can get involved and kind of he likes to back up the process a lot. But I do like seeing Ryan get involved and tell them to shut up when they need to shut up.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then Steven also wants to know, on a scale of inconsistent to hypocrite, how bad is Ryan at telling them to follow their hearts or telling the non-perfect matches to play the game? And then he gives credit to Adam Rita for this combo from Twitter.
I think that, like, he's really transforming into more of a game bot here, where he's like, play the game, trust the process. We did all your perfect matches or your perfect matches for a reason. Look at the statistics, like, which it obviously doesn't make any sense. But I do think that he's really going from the follow your heart Ryan, where he's like, oh, Ryan's like an older brother slash dad who you don't know how old he is, but a nice fella. And now you're like, okay, Ryan's really getting pissed at us. Like, we got to listen to him. Do you think in the upcoming episodes we are going to see them actually take Ryan's advice, like Hannah and Ozzy and Taylor and or Tandre take Ryan's advice? Or do you think they're just going to keep doing that?
I mean, we get this stuff from Ryan every single season. And yeah, it never makes sense. Follow your heart. He uses follow your heart as a way to find your perfect match. But that's not like what that means. Because obviously Taylor and Andre are following their heart. So it does really grate on me. It gets annoying. But you just kind of have to accept that that's who Ryan is. And he has these canned lines, and he's always going to give us the same canned line. So yeah, he's a hypocrite, but that's his shtick.
Mm-hmm. What are the odds? Okay. After the season, we get Ryan on here I'm so like, I want that to happen so bad that we do an interview with Ryan and like, and just be like, okay, Ryan, like if you were on Are You the One, like what would you do? I want to hear his take, like from a more personal point of view, because he seems like a genuinely funny guy, but like if we could possibly do that, would you be down?
Yeah, do it. Let's get it done.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but like I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to go to his house if I have to.
If you do it, I will support you through all ways necessary, whatever you need.
We could let him plug his granola bars or whatever. I know he has a
bar save lives.
Yes,
save lives.
Exactly. So we could let him do whatever he has to do.
You just plugged it.
Exactly. See, and they're not even real sponsors. We're not getting any compensation for that, Ryan. So please come on our show and we will praise some of what you do.
Perfect. That seems like a tempting offer.
Uh-huh.
So they get 5 beams at this matchup, and I actually thought they were going to black out this week. Like, I didn't think any of these matches made any sense to me. The fact that 5 of these people are a match, or I guess 3 are a match, including the 2 confirmed matches, in addition to the 2 confirmed matches. Like, do you have any sense of who could be a match out of these people?
No, I honestly don't know. I'm assuming it's Osvaldo and Taylor. Like, I really just think that Osvaldo's went with Tierney, he went with Gianna for a little bit, but they seem to be like, okay, Osvaldo, you're going to – I forgot who said it. I think this was one of the episodes we've covered today, which is one of the last 4. They did say, okay, Osvaldo, like, sit with Taylor. And for some reason, I feel like their personalities match up. They both seem like nice people, but obviously they're not a romantic match. They're just a regular friendship match. So I do, for some reason, think that they're a match. I'm trying to see like the whole table of who sat together last night. It was also Mike and Carrie could be a match.
Just to rattle it off for anyone following along at home, it was Derek and Shannon, Mike and Carrie, Andre and Gianna, Tyler and Hannah, Oswaldo and Taylor, Ozzy and Alicia, Jalen and Tierney, Joey and Cass, and Michael and Catherine.
So out of all those people, Jalen and Tierney have sat together for a couple of times. I could see them being a match. I could see Mike and Carrie being a match. And I think Osvaldo and Taylor are a match. Those are just the 3 that stand out to me.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that because I have no better thing to say to offer. Five matches to me was a complete shock. This seemed random. Maybe there's a method to their madness. We will see next week. I just want to thank everyone, including Adam, especially Adam, for bearing with my like shitstorm of a schedule. We are going to try to get together at some point to record a little sampling on Stranded with Boku Bucks. And I know I promised on the Challenge podcast that Angela Bloom would be with us. If you've made it this far, you probably figured out Angela Bloom was not with us. We are trying to make her schedule work with our schedule. We will have her do something with us before, you know, we turn our mics off for this season of Are You the One? More on that soon, later in the next week, what have you. Adam, you have some stuff going on, though, in the RHAP world.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Obviously, it's not that crazy of a deal. So me and some of the So You Think You Can podcast losers, the ones who did not finish in first place, which, as you know by now, was not me. We'll be doing a Survivor draft with Jordan Parhar. I know it's on Saturday. I don't know when he's releasing it. I don't even know if I'm allowed to be talking about it because it's obviously such a big deal. And the RHAP community is abuzz knowing that Adam Bongiovanni is doing all these podcasts. No,
so this is Big Brother Canada, right? You might have just said that.
No, it's actually it's Jordan from BB Canada, but it's for Survivor.
Oh, you said Survivor. Okay.
I think I did. I probably didn't, honestly.
I'm not. I should not have said that in the podcast. No, I'm not on anything.
But it is it's gonna be fun, and I'm excited to talk Survivor, especially
who are the other losers that are gonna be there. Do you know yet?
Yeah, it's gonna be me, Liana, and Puya. And Liana does the Hunted podcast, so and Puya has been a patron for a while. So it is a plethora of great minds, minus my own.
So Liana and Puya both did Game Changers podcast.
Yes.
So big fans of them, and Liana's just the shit. She is going to be filling in for me. I was very proud of this tweet. She will be playing the role of female on the RuPaul's Drag Race Rehab Up when it starts up again later this month. So definitely look out for that. And as soon as I hang up with Adam, I will be recording the Challenge podcast for the week with Brian Cohen. A belated happy birthday shout out to him. So a lot of good stuff happening on the reality TV Rehab Ups this week. Quick shout out. This is kind of unbelievable. So anyone who listens to this, who doesn't listen to the Challenger Hop Up, since Brian and I started the podcast in, I want to say, like the early part of 2014 and decided to start reading 5-star reviewers, we have never not had a week where we haven't had at least one until like the first 2 weeks of this season. And it was so upsetting. And I made this like impassioned plea about how disgusted I was by it. And mostly just like hurt emotionally. And people came out like in droves, at least droves by my standards, to support us. And if you are listening to Are You the One podcast, it's on the same feed. Please let us know in your review that you're also out there listening to us. So Casey Case 1234 in her review also added that she loves listening to Are You the One podcast. So we appreciate that. Thank you very much. If you want to subscribe or leave us some love, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes, or you can follow me at Lash Tweets, or you can follow Adam at
Adam Bonjo. Enthusiastic. I hope you know how enthusiastic I was about my shout out there.
Fantastic. anything else before we call it a day?
I just want to say that once again, Tyler is a douchebag.
That is a perfect place to end. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.